mergers and money-making.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Some companies today say they're getting together. Oracle will buy Sun Microsystems for about $7.5 billion. Drug maker GlaxoSmithKline says it'll buy Stiefel Labs in a deal worth $3.5 billion. So, where's Wall Street? Dow is down more than 2% at this hour. NASDAQ and S&P shares down more than 2.33%. European shares lower 1-3%. And Asian markets closed mostly higher overseas. All right, let's talk to Jane DiRista, an analyst with the Financial Market Center. Jane, good morning.
I think that the financial sector is now getting used to the idea that mergers are out there. Moreover, I suspect that the investment banks, the ones that remain, as well as Merrill Lynch with B of A, are trying to get back into their business of arranging these to get the fees, to get the profits coming again, and they're succeeding.
So let's talk about Bank of America then, and B of A, of course, reporting this morning that their profits more than doubled in the first quarter. What's going on there?
The banks themselves have perceived, and I think the market is beginning to perceive, that the government is very concerned about their capital position, has finally awakened to the fact that we were having an erosion of capital through the toxic assets and through the derivatives, the calls for collateral, et cetera, which was going to wipe out the system if they didn't do something. Well, one of the things that they have done was to get Congress to agree to pay interest on reserve accounts. And so what we saw was last September, reserves with the Federal Reserve banks were $67 billion. They peaked at $900 billion in January. This means the banks have collateral that is good as gold. It is an asset on the asset side of their banks which earns money on the one hand, and on the other hand can be traded, can be used as collateral, et cetera. And it does not require a charge against capital because nobody's going to question that collateral.
All right. Jane DiRista, an analyst with the Financial Market Center. Jane, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Turns out the big banks haven't been as lend-friendly as even the government thought. All that bailout money, and apparently it hasn't done much to open up credit. Here's Marketplace's senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
In releasing its latest bank lending numbers, the Treasury Department pointed to what it called relatively steady overall lending levels. But that upbeat assessment didn't carry over to President Obama's view as he spoke to reporters in Trinidad yesterday.
This is still a difficult time for the economy. Credit is still contracted. Banks still are not lending at previous levels.
In fact, the Wall Street Journal takes a closer look at the data this morning and reports the Treasury spin was a lot rosier than what the numbers show. The paper says all but three of the biggest recipients of government assistance originated fewer loans in February, 23% fewer overall, than they did before they got the federal bailout funds. The Treasury Department said last week the situation could be even worse without the government's cash infusions. The banks insist they're eager to lend. They contend demand for loans is down. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
We heard this morning that 1,600 General Motors workers will lose their jobs during the next few days, all part of the carmaker's efforts to stay in business.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. And by Microsoft, delivering people-ready enterprise solutions designed to help companies do more with less. Details at Microsoft.com/people-ready. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear conversations with poets about the economy, music, cooking, and more at AmericanPublicMedia.org/poetry.
ExxonMobil replaced Walmart at the top spot at the Fortune 500. The magazine released its list yesterday. Fortune says as far as earnings go, it's the worst year ever for that list. And that goes back 55 years.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now to talk about the revenue plunge. Alan, what's the most interesting number you see in there?
$4.1 trillion.
Why is that so interesting?
Well, it's interesting to me because that's how much the stocks in the 500 were selling for this year as opposed to what they sold for a year ago. So you're down $4.1 trillion, which even these days is a lot of money.
So how did we go, Alan, then, from seeing the stock market as this safe haven to, my God, I'm not touching that?
Well, this has to do with, you'll forgive me, age, Stephen, but there was a huge bull market from the summer of 1982 through the spring of 2000, and stocks returned 20% a year. This idea got in the land that it was really easy to save for your own retirement by just buying an index fund or send your kids to private college because the stock market would provide. And for 7 years after that market ended, that fantasy was still there, but now I think it's gone.
So here we are out of fantasy land, Alan. What have we learned then from the crash?
Well, I'll tell you what I've learned, and I hope other people have learned it as well, which is that you cannot trust the stock market to take care of you. You have to take care of you. In 2 years, the stock market, again, as measured by the Fortune 500, was down 43%. I mean, these are stunning numbers, and they ought to tell you that nothing goes up forever and that you cannot trust your fate to the stock market because it's the old story. You may love your stocks, but your stocks don't love you.
But nothing will stay down forever either, Alan, right?
That's true. But given how many people are, you'll forgive me again, my age, who had saved all of their lives, were getting ready to retire, which is not the case with me because I'll never retire because my wife will shoot me if I do. But all these boomers who were close to 65 or 66, suddenly they're a lot less wealthy than they thought they were. And heaven help us all, they're going to rely on Social Security.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
Share your thoughts with us at our website. Check out, of course, the trading floor, the scratch pad with our online blogger, Scott Jagow, inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.